If you have your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 12. We've been studying all the way through Daniel. We're at the last chapter, Daniel chapter 12. Daniel 12, and I'll read in Daniel chapter 12. I'll just read verse 1. You could follow. It says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." I want to talk to you in Daniel chapter 12 about God's protection and God's deliverance. And we've been seeing all along how God has taken care of His chosen nation, of His chosen people. Out of all the nations on the face of the earth, there's one nation that God chose. And through that nation, He chose to save the nations of the world. One of the men tell me, what nation is that? And don't say USA. Brother Denny?
Israel.
Yeah, the nation is the nation of Israel. And Daniel was praying for 3 weeks about the future of his nation and the protection of his nation over there in Daniel chapter 10. And he was praying about this and asking God for wisdom of what would happen in the future. And God gave him a plan that would encompass centuries of time and right up until the time in which we live. And he was saying exactly what would happen right up until the end of time. And the Bible's very clear about it, that God is a God that the devil is not going to throw off. You know, God does not think it is by accident that oil prices are high, that gas prices are high, that we're having all the problems that we're having. It's all part of His plan, and it's all going to come down to the Middle East and what's going to happen in the Middle East. And we looked last time at Daniel chapter 11 and what it says is going to happen in the Middle East. And we saw verse number 40, it says that at the time of the end, the king of the south shall push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him. And this is speaking about what's going to happen in the end times. You see, the Bible is very clear that in the end times, we've already seen this, that the European Union is going to expand into the Middle East, and there's going to be a great peace in the Middle East between Israel and Syria and Egypt and the Palestinians. And the head of the European Union, that the people call the Antichrist, actually he's not the Antichrist, he is the beast of Revelation. This man is going to be a great political leader. He's going to be a leader of the European Union, and he's going to bring a great peace from Europe right into the Middle East. You know, that's what Jimmy Carter tried to do. He couldn't do it. That's what Bill Clinton tried to do in 1993 on the White House lawn. He couldn't do it. That's what President Bush said that he wants to do before he leaves office. Well, he doesn't have very much time left. But there is a man that's going to pull it off. And it's not going to be an American. It's going to be the head of Europe. And the Bible has a lot to say about this individual. And he's the head of the European Union. And he's going to bring about this great peace. And possibly there's going to be disarmament in the Middle East. It doesn't sound like it now, but possibly there'll be disarmament. Nuclear weapons will be taken away from all the Middle Eastern countries. I don't know for sure. But I do know this. There's going to be peace in the Middle East. And the Bible says that Israel, listen to me, is going to rest not in God, but rest in the security of the armies of Europe and the protection of the head of the EU and the UN. And they will think everything's going to be all right because they have peace. And they also have something else that's going to happen. They're going to be allowed, get this, you look for it, remember you heard it, they're going to be allowed to rebuild their temple on the Temple Mount, that temple that was destroyed in AD 70. After all these years, almost 2,000 years, Israel's going to rebuild their temple. And they're going to start offering their sacrifices. And when that happens, the Bible says that there are only 7 years left until the Battle of Armageddon. You see, there is coming a time when there's going to be a great peace and a great euphoria, but that's the beginning of the end. Jesus called it in Matthew 24, the beginning of sorrows. And the word there, sorrows, is birth pangs that a lady has when she goes into labor. I remember it well. When my wife would go into labor, I would time the labor pains and say, we got to go to the hospital. They're getting closer and closer together. Oh boy. And that's exactly what's going to happen. You see, I believe the Bible teaches not a signless coming of Jesus, but that the coming of Christ will be preceded by definite signs, and they're called the beginning of sorrows that will happen in the beginning of the 7 years. And the first sign will be peace, Revelation 6, the white horse. After that, one of the men tell me, and this is mentioned here in Daniel 11, verse 40 and following, we've already studied it, but after that peace, probably within the first year, there will be what take place? Starting in the Middle East and spreading out. One of the men tell me, raise your hand, Brother Bob.
Second seal, a red horse of war, possibly fulfillment of Ezekiel 38:39.
Thank you. All right, Brother Bob. Excellent. There's going to be a war. Revelation 6 says, it uses the Greek word megas or mega, which is, you've heard of mega. Somebody says it's mega. Mega, what means what? Big, right? Large, giant. Do you know World War I, World War II? You've heard of World War I, World War II. Does anybody know, other than Brother Bob, what World War I was called before there was a World War II? Because they didn't have World War II. They just had World War I, so they had to give it a name. They didn't call it World War I because they didn't know there'd be a II. So what did they call it, Brother Greg?
The Great War.
Yes, the Great War. Those of you that are alive then, you remember that. No, I don't. But that was... Stop laughing. That was the Great War, 1914 to 1918. I was not alive then. But my grandfather was. He was born about the time of the Little Bighorn. But that war was called the Great War. Now, this war that we're looking at here in Daniel chapter 11 is... the Great War, according to Revelation 6, it'll begin in the Middle East, and it will be, according to Jesus in Matthew 24, it will start like World War I did. How did World War I start? Well, there was a Serbian nationalist, Gavrilo Princeps, and Prince Ferdinand of Austria-Hungary was visiting in his area around Sarajevo, and he shot him, he assassinated him. And that started a war where one nation, Austria-Hungary, declared war on Serbia. Serbia was allied with Russia, and Austria-Hungary was allied with Germany, and that brought in France with Russia, and then Britain with France, and pretty soon you had all these nations, and war, the Great War happened. It was a world war. The United States came into it too, eventually. Now that's exactly what's going to happen in the Middle East. Sorry to tell you tonight. President Bush said, I heard the statement, I have it on video. President Bush said this. He said, if you want to start World War III, just invade Israel. Now, that's a president that said that. We know right now, as we are here tonight, that there are rumors of war, aren't there? Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of war. Yeah, there are rumors of war. Israel attacking Iran is a big rumor right now. United States, and they're trying to put it down and say, well, no, we're trying for diplomacy. I can say this, that the Bible says that there's going to be peace, but then there's going to be a great war, and it's going to begin in Israel. And the Bible says the king of the south will start it, and then the king of the north will follow it up. And you need to understand that the king of the south and the king of the north are at peace with Israel. There is going to be peace in the Middle East, but it's a false peace, and it will be followed by war. Now, I don't know if there's going to be a war very soon, and then the peace will come after the war. That's possible. But eventually, there's going to be this peace that President Bush wants. It may be after he leaves office. He may still get it done. I don't know. But it may have to have war first, but there's going to be a peace. But that peace will be followed by World War III, starting in the Middle East. Now, let me ask you this. What country will start that war? One of the men tell me, the King of the South will invade Israel. That'll start it. Denny Owen?
Egypt.
That's just what the Bible teaches, Egypt. King of the north will then also invade Israel from the north, and that is going to be, Denny? Syria. God predicted all these things years ago. He knows exactly what's going to happen. I remember times when Egypt and Syria attacked Israel. I lived through those times. And God helped Israel to win. This time, the Bible says when that happens, that it speaks of the fact in verse 40 there's going to be a great war. But then in verse 41, look what it says. It says, he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand. Now, we've been studying this. This he that's going to enter in is actually the head of Israel, who is going to be a religious leader, a false Christ. He is actually the Antichrist. The Antichrist we've seen is really a Jew, and he's going to lead Israel to make peace with her enemies by depending upon the head of the European Union. And he's going to lead Israel eventually to worship the image of the head of the European Union. He is going to do false miracles and all of that. But this individual, when Syria attacks and Egypt attacks, he's going to hightail it to Europe, and he's going to get an army there and bring that army back, a European army, and attack into the Middle East. When he does, he'll go into Syria and defeat Syria. When he does, he'll go south into Egypt and roll over Egypt. He will spread himself over the Middle East with the European army. And it will be victorious. But I want you to notice here, we're talking, this is World War III, this is developing. I want you to notice here what it says, though, if you'll look with me at verse 44, look what it says. When he's down there in Egypt, by the way, verse 43 says he's in Egypt. He's right at the brink of the Libyans and the Ethiopians of Africa. But then it says, but tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with fury to destroy and to utterly make away many. Now when he hears tidings out of the east and out of the north, does any one of the men know? And I do not, I'm not dogmatic about all the things of this passage, but I believe, to the best of my understanding, what those tidings may very well be. May very well be. One of the men want to hazard at it, what it would be? Brother Bob?
The threatening of either a Russian or Chinese invasion.
All right. Exactly. Now, here's what I'm going to say I believe it will be. Based on Ezekiel 38 and 39. It will be right to the north of Israel are all of the former Islamic states that are allied with Russia in the former USSR, the Soviet Union. Most of those states are former, they're former Soviet Union states, but they're very militant Islamic states. They are going to want to destroy Israel. They're going to want to take the Middle East over. They're not going to like it that Europe has moved in, and Europe has all the power in the Middle East now, and they're going to want to have their part in that. And they could have China with them. That's possible. But I know that in the East, what's a big power to the East that is a country mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39? Brother Bob?
Iran,
called Persia. And so I believe these powers very well could be coming down, and the Bible says they're going to come down at a time when there has been peace, and now they're going to come down and they're going to try to get their part of the Middle East pot and wealth and take it over. Instead of letting Europe take it over, they're going to take it over, and they're going to come in and invade. And this European leader is going to be furious, and he's going to turn around, and it's like a World War III. But who does the Bible say defeats these states that are allied with Russia and Iran? Is it Europe? Is it the United States? Who defeats them, Kim?
Jesus.
God defeats them. God defeats them. He does it with an earthquake. He does it by a friendly fire where they begin to fight one another. He does it by all of these means, but it will be very clear to people that it's God that has defeated this great power. And the Bible says that when that happens, you see, Russia will only have 1/6 of her army left, and she'll lick her wounds and go back into her place. And now who has the power in the world? Well, the great power in the world is going to be Europe. Europe is going to rule and have the great power. And here's what you can look for as I read my Bible. You can look for Europe to have great power, and you can look for the United Nations to continue to have great power, because the United Nations are going to hold together all the nations of the world, and all of the world's wealth is going to be concentrated in the UN, and all of the world's legal authority, so that before Europe does anything, she's going to have a law passed by the UN for most of this time period. By the way, that's happening right now. But let me ask you this. Where, according to the Bible, during this time period that we're talking about, during this 7-year time period, where, according to the Bible, is the UN going to move to when it becomes the richest city in the world, the richest place in the world, and it will make the rest of the world that deals with it the richest people in the world? It'll happen after this war. After this great war, and after the European leader and the Antichrist clean things up and fix things up, and the Antichrist will have his palace in Jerusalem in the temple, and the European leader will have his headship in Europe, and then the UN will be in a city that will become the most wealthy city in the world. What country will that city be in, according to Revelation 17 and 18, Harold? Very good. City of Babylon. And what country will that be in?
Iraq.
Penny?
Iraq.
And Harold had it too? Iraq. Isn't it interesting? The United States helped build the UN in New York City, didn't we? But the Bible says that the UN is going to emerge in Babylon, right where Nimrod started it, a big one world government, and it will be a key player in the end times after World War III. We're looking beyond World War III tonight. And what I'm saying to you is that that great city will be there. It will be a place of wealth and power. But the Antichrist will be in the middle of the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And the European leader will be in his place. Where will the United States be? Well, the United States may still be here. We may be weakened some. We may be weakened a great deal. I don't know. Bible isn't really clear on that. But it could be that the greatest influence and impact the United States will be seen in the country of Iraq. And in Iraq, that's going to be the wealthiest place in the world. You know, everybody's upset about Iraq. It's going to become the place of wealth and prosperity, and men are going to worship that money. By the way, if you are worshiping money, if you're putting your trust in money, that's only going to last so long. It will eventually burn, and it will eventually melt. And you need to put your faith in the Word of God and in the Jesus Christ of the Bible, because the next ruler of this world that's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years is not going to be the United Nations. It's not going to be Russia. It's not going to be the head of the United States or the European Union. The ultimate champion and ruler of the world, I've read the last chapter of the Bible, is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. He's coming back. He came the first time to die for our sins. He's coming the second time to rule and to reign. And as we study Daniel chapter 12, we're going to see what's going to happen right in the middle of the 7 years that we've been talking about. Tonight we've been looking at the first half of the 7 years. It'll start off with peace. And then there's going to be within the first year most likely war, even world war. And then after that, the Bible says there's going to be famine. And to get even one meal, it will cost you a whole day's wage during that time for a lot of the world. And then after that, listen to me, prosperity, riches, wealth untold as long as you go along with the Antichrist, the head of Israel that will be, and the head of the European Union, you will be wealthy. There's only one problem. In order to do that, people are going to have to deny the God of the Bible, have to deny Jesus Christ, and have to take a mark, probably a computer chip, in their hand or their forehead, in a cashless society of great socialistic wealth where everybody will be taken care of. Universal health care, man, it will be here. Only thing is, you got to sell your soul to get it. You got to sell out to get it. Now, a true born-again Christian could not ever do that. Because once you are saved, if you're truly born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and you have God's mark on you, and He will never leave you or forsake you, and He will never let you worship the Antichrist and take the mark of the Antichrist. But if you're not a born again Christian, let me tell you, when we come into these times that we're talking about, and we're perched right on the edge of all these prophetic fulfillments right now, you will not be ready for it. You will not be able to deal with it. You will be in a very bad place, and so will those that you love. That's why it's so important tonight to realize, listen to me, that Jesus Christ is knocking at the door of our hearts, and He's saying, I want to enter into your heart. I want to wash your sin away. I want to be your Lord and Savior. But you must say yes to Jesus. You must open the door of your heart and accept Him tonight. And then He'll come in and He'll be your personal Savior. And if you are saved, don't be like some Christians that say to me, Pastor, all of this scares me. I've read the book of Revelation, and it's not a revelation about all these things that make you afraid. It's a revelation of what? One of the men tell me. What is the revelation of? What is it about? Greg?
Christ and His coming kingdom.
Yeah. It's a revelation about Jesus Christ. Turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in His wonderful faith, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. What's God telling Christians? Listen, He's telling Christians, don't be afraid. People's hearts are going to fail them and they're going to die. During the Depression, during the 29 stock market crash, people were jumping out of windows. Why? Because their faith was in this world and their world was coming apart. And they said, I don't know what to do. And they killed themselves. If you have Jesus Christ, I don't care what happens in this world, He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You can know and have peace in your heart. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, I would not walk to Him tonight. I would run to Him and I would say, Lord, save me. And He promises He'll do it. Don't put it off. Believe me, what I'm saying now tonight in the Bible will be headlines in the news in the days to come. You heard it here. Don't be a fool. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. I want to ask you a question tonight. There was a time and place in my life when I heard the Bible and I realized that I was a sinner before God, and I would be judged and I would have to face God's righteous judgment that, by the way, America is going to face and the nations are going to face, even on earth. And I knew I was not ready to meet God. The Bible says prepare to meet God, and I wasn't ready. And then I heard about Jesus Christ, that He is God who died and rose again to save us and give us eternal life. And I received Him as my Savior by faith. I put my faith in the Lord. I called upon the Lord to save me. He did. I wonder how many here today say, Pastor, I know I'm a born-again Christian. I know I've been saved by the Lord. Would you raise your hand? Hold it up high. All right. Thank you. You may put it down. Some of you couldn't raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. Nobody looking around tonight. But if God has been knocking on the door of your heart and you know that you're a sinner and you know that you're not ready to meet God, I want to invite you right now to call upon Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. For real. And ask Him to wash your sins away and become your personal Savior. And I want to pray for you that you would do that tonight before we go any further in this treacherous world. I wonder tonight, nobody looking around, every head bowed, say, "Preacher, I'm not ready to meet God. I need Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me?" Would you raise your hand? Just hold it up, put it up and down, and I'll see it. All right, I see that. Yep, I see that. I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? All right, I see that hand tonight. All right, yes. It's a time of decision tonight. I see that hand. Opportunities, I believe, are historical in our lives. This is a historical moment. It'll never be repeated again. You'll never be in exactly this place. You'll never have exactly this opportunity. But what you do, listen to me carefully, what you do with Jesus Christ will determine your eternal destiny. Because just like the ark in Noah's day was the place of salvation from a worldwide flood, so Jesus Christ is the place of salvation from the wrath of God. Because the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this world during those 7 years. And even demons are going to come out of the bottomless pit during that time. And if you accept Jesus Christ now, before the wrath of God is poured out, you will meet Jesus in the air. That's not science fiction, friend. That's definite fact. It's in the Word of God. And I'm saying tonight, you have to make a choice. Am I going to take my chances with a humanistic world and put my faith in the politicians? Or am I going to put my faith in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and trust Him with my eternal salvation? And that's what it's all about. It's putting your trust in the Lord that saves you. Tonight, right where you are, would you call upon Jesus and tell Him, "I'm putting my trust in you, Lord. Save me. Wash my sins away. And give me eternal life." Right now, would you do that? I wonder, you say, "Preacher, I've just called upon the Lord to be my Savior." Would you raise your hand, hold it up high? I'll see it. Now, amen. All right. Amen. Amen. "I've just called upon the Lord to be my personal Savior." Now listen to me. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. And you don't be afraid to confess Christ to others, because He's the best friend you'll ever have. He's a friend, the Bible says, that'll be with you through thick and thin. And I tell you what, in the news media, you're just going to hear bad news. Every day I turn on the news media, it's almost like they want to hear the bad news about oil prices going higher. I guess the liberals want it so they can take over our lives and run our lives. But when you have Jesus Christ, you have the good news. Because I've read the last page in the Bible and Jesus wins, and it's good news. Keep your eyes on Him tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You tonight for this time when we can come and still hear the Word of God, Lord, and still have an opportunity to accept Your offer of salvation, Lord. We thank You. You made a way for our sins to be taken out of the way through Your Son, through His death. Thank You for His love and for His sacrifice. Thank You for those that have already been saved, and thank You for those tonight that have professed to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Lord, we pray that You'd bless them. In Jesus' name.